have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call featuring T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. In today's program, Tom continues his discussion with Carl Kirby of Reasons for Hope Ministries as they address the problems of reaching today's youth with the true gospel. Now, with his guest, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. This is our second week with Carl Kirby. Carl's ministry is Reasons for Hope, and we've been dealing with not just evolution creation, but his concern, my concern for the upcoming generation of believers. And as we mentioned last week, serious issues. We have a generation that's basically been raised on entertainment. Those who are in the church or involved with the youth ministry and so on. You know, Carl, I think that, one of the toughest callings, if you will, in terms of the church is a youth pastor. You know, they have a great amount of responsibility. They're expected to keep the young people growing and following the ways of the Lord. But it also falls back on numbers. You know, if you try and preach and teach the word, well, for some people, it's not entertaining. I have a friend who's a youth pastor, and his line is, what brings them in keeps them in. And sadly, throughout the church, they've been brought in music, entertainment, games, all of these kinds of things. But his belief is, yes, what brings them in keeps them in, and it's his goal to bring them in with the Word of God. Now, if you think about that, if you can get them excited about the Word of God, and Carl, I don't know anything, any book, I don't know any condition that's more exciting than the Word of God,
yeah.
A situation in particular. How many books do we have at home that are written by God? Well, I know one, the Bible. And therefore, the excitement that can be generated from that, if you're committed to it. I remember you telling me one time about leadership, looking for young people who are leaders. Mm. Now, did I hear that from you, Carl? Or was that?
Well, I know that one of the things that I've found is that leadership, if they're not pouring into that younger generation in a very unique way, and what I'm seeing is that every 3 to 4 youth need to have a mature leader pouring into them.
Mm-hmm.
And parents should be doing this primarily. So understand that from the very beginning, parents need to be the primary educators. But if I'm going to get into that youth world, what I am seeing, the youth groups that I've been in, and there's a number of them now, where they are bringing in leaders that the youth leaders pouring into these guys, and then they're pouring into these younger kids. So they're spending 30 minutes a week, knee to knee, eye to eye, with this young person, and they have a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So every 3 or 4 young people, 30 minutes a week with that one leader. And so it's going to have to get personal like that, because this is a generation that they may get together in a big group, but boy, they're not taking a lot out of it when they're in that group type setting. And they need that knee to knee, eye to eye time. And it's important.
Carl, that's the issue. Looking to the upcoming generation, yeah, they appreciate us older dudes that have the opportunity to preach and teach them. But to find someone, a young man, a young woman who is committed to the Lord, who has a heart for the Word of God, these are the ones who are really going to make disciples of disciples, right? They are disciples of the Lord, and they are going to make disciples, that's one of the solutions. We could go over a number of things that we could encourage. Certainly, you know, we talked about some of it last week, but for the young people themselves, where they're committed, where they're growing in the Lord, where they're a leader following the Lord, that's huge. It's really important.
Well, the younger generation are going to reach their generation better than you and I can. So I always feel like if I can get a bunch of kids and I get, like, say 1% of them fired up, well, that 1% is going to reach their peers better than I will. So that's what that whole book I told you about last week that I read that really changed my whole focus on not worrying about numbers, but worrying about obedience. If you're obedient in ministry, you're successful. Quit worrying about numbers, man. Get obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's amazing what he will accomplish through somebody who's obedient.
Now, Carl, we talked about many issues last week related to creation evolution, but Reasons for Hope. You guys are doing, I think, a bang-up job in other areas that are affecting adversely affecting our youth.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
You know, one of the neatest areas is I've got my son. He's on staff with me now. He's one of our other speakers. He's doing a whole DVD. We're working on the DVD as well as his book is about to be finished called Game Over. It's not just a game anymore. Teaching parents to critically evaluate the messages in video games. Because, I, you know, I've been doing the media for a long time, television mm-hmm. and movies. That's one of the things that really connected me with you that first time when I read your book, you know, on the Passion of the Christ. And it was like, man, here's somebody else.
Yeah, it was called Showtime for the Sheep.
Yeah, Showtime for the Sheep.
Right.
And it was like, man, here's somebody else that's seen that the impact that the media is having and is aware of it. So, because I didn't know your background or anything. We just mm-hmm. met and I read your book and like, bang, here we go. This is an important issue. Well, my son 5 years ago started bringing me video game stuff. I'm not a gamer. And so he kept bringing me this stuff, but I couldn't talk about it because it's not my world. And when I finally brought him on staff a year ago, I told him, I said, you've got to talk about this. And he has been, and it's blowing parents' minds because mm-hmm. they don't have a clue what's going on in that world. They're allowing their children to play these games and the messages that are in there. And we're not just talking sex and violence. We're talking how Christians are depicted, how the Bible is depicted, mm-hmm. how Jesus is depicted. It will blow your mind.
Yeah, so it's propaganda.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you think about it. Now everybody's all concerned about, oh, the violence in the video games is impacting the kids. Excuse me, if you're going to admit that the violence in the video games is impacting this younger generation, well, guess what? Then these other messages on how Christians are depicted, how the Bible is depicted, how God is depicted, those are also impacting a generation. And you can't have it both ways. And those are everywhere in very, very popular games. So he's bringing that out, teaching parents how to critically evaluate those messages. We're also dealing with, got a new guy coming on board, Lord willing, the end of this year, full time. He's a Cuban American and he's Spanish speaker because we've got to reach out to the Hispanic community in my mind in a big way. But he is really, he loves the philosophical stuff and the debating stuff, which is not my gift. But he's really, really good because he handles the philosophical stuff. Well, if God created everything, then who created God? Is God a moral monster? And these are questions that we're getting every time we go out. He handles those extremely well, mm-hmm. but he handles them in a very good way because he's been in a Christian school for 15 years, so he knows how to communicate so normal people understand it. So mm-hmm. I love that. And curriculum, we're doing debunked.
Tell us about, I want you to describe the debunk series, because the Lord willing, and you know, my goal here for the Breen Call is to set up a video website. I call it a safe house. It's not YouTube, okay, but it'll perform like a YouTube, although without all the garbage, without all the videos that attach themselves to your video or come alongside it and so on.
Yeah.
One of the first videos that I want to have on there. Obviously, you know, Carl, we're trying to develop some ourselves for a youth audience, for a YouTube audience.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm thinking about debunked. So describe one of them.
Well, I call it Dirty Jobs meets Mythbusters on steroids.
Okay.
Because what it is you got the world, they're throwing all this stuff out at our kids. Oh, mm-hmm. there's no evidence for God. The Bible's full of mistakes and errors. You couldn't fit all the animals on a wooden boat. How ridiculous. 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat. And what happens is that our kids get these messages in the video games on Bill O'Reilly. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You know, they get these messages all the time, and they don't get answers to them. And so they just kind of either don't deal with it, get quiet, or they just quit believing it all. So I said, well, we're going to go after it. I think it's a bunch of bunk, so we're going to debunk the bunk. So it's very fast-paced, mm-hmm. animated style, 3.5 to 4 minutes, but taking on a topic and then just drilling it and showing how you start with the Word of God to get answers. It's intentionally more information than most people can get in one sitting, but done in a way that people will go back and watch them again. And so we've had huge success with those, especially with the high schoolers, because they're now taking them and showing them to their friends and to their teachers, and that's been very cool.
And what about their parents?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Parents are, you know, it was interesting. I was in Tampa last weekend. Mm-hmm. Spoke at a house, six young men. It's a homeschool co-op. Six young men graduating, getting ready to go to college. They went to their parents and said, hey, we want this guy to come back and speak before we go to college. So they brought me down. A gentleman came in, brought his two grandchildren with him. So I spoke, and then the two grandchildren went home, talked to their mom, and they set up a meeting at their house, spoke at their house the next day. They had 50 kids that showed up. And now the mom came to me and said, my children told me this is the best teaching they've had in 3 years. Will you come back? We're scheduled to go back in 2 or 3 months. So they respond extremely well to it. And then the parents see the children get excited. And that's exciting to see as well. Because You and I know, if our kids get excited about something and we're Christian, and they're getting excited about something about their faith, we want to be involved with that. At least
exactly.
I did.
Exactly. Carl, that brings me to another point. Mm. I've been hanging around you for a long time now, and I know your heart for evangelism. Mm. Now, just based on the example that you have, that you just gave, all right, the young people get excited about what you're showing and what you're doing, all right, and then they go home and they share it with their parents because they're excited. Now the parents get excited about it and so on. Well, I have seen that happen with regard to young people getting saved. I mean, look, this isn't a slam dunk. It's not always easy, but I've seen an incredible amount of success with regard to the young people ministering to their parents.
Yeah.
You know, if their lives are changed because they've come to the Lord, you don't think the parents are going to take
Absolutely.
Note?
Absolutely.
So consequently, I have seen young people evangelize their parents and to the extent of huge numbers. So at least that is an option. That's a way of going about it. But share your heart for evangelism.
Well, I tell you, that's why we are where we are, Tom. I just made the decision that I've got to go after younger generation because we're losing 50 to 80% of the kids and everybody's complaining about the church and the numbers are declining. Well, guess what? I'm tired of going out on the street trying to get them back in the church. I want to get them before they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so my head was, if you get the young folks excited, they will evangelize their parents because parents see changes in their lives. They're going to see it big time. My heart is this, is that I did a talk called Evangelism 101, 10 Things a Christian Can Learn About Evangelism from an Atheist. And in there, there's a video that many, many people have seen by Mr. Penn Jillette, who shares an encounter that somebody walked up, gave him a gift of the Bible, and just shared with him.
Wait, Penn Jillette. Is this a godly man, a Christian who we would just be in awe of? Tell us about him.
Oh, Mr. Penn is one of the most ardent anti-Christians that you'll ever run into. His programs are profanity-laced nastiness. I mean, not a nice guy, he is a nice guy, but not when it comes to Christianity or anything like that. And you got to define your term, what you mean by nice. But by the world standards, people like him, but he is hardcore when it comes to Christianity. This guy walked up boldly, gave him a Bible, shared his faith, and he made a comment that I end that talk with that just, to me, should rattle the cages of Christians. The man looks at the camera and says, "How much do you have to hate somebody to believe in everlasting life and not share it with someone?"
This is Penn Jillette. He's the one saying this.
And so that was such a knife in my heart that here I am, I'm ready to fight and argue on a drop. Man, you want to make a claim about the Bible? You want to talk about this? I'm going to argue you. And it was like, but how many people did I truly, genuinely love enough to say, you know what? Here's the bottom line. There's a heaven. There's a hell. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. And instead of me arguing with you about carbon dating, how about we just talk about this? There's an eternity. Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. He died for you. He loves you that much. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. He wants you to spend it with him. And turn the conversation away from an argument to the fact that, look, let me share the gospel with you. And yes, we need to have answers, but we also need to share the gospel with people.
Right.
Because the answers aren't enough.
And I want to go back to Penn Jillette. So this man steps up right in his face, gives him a Bible. Was that what happened? And now this guy who is anti-Christ, anti-God, he's impressed.
Oh, yeah.
For what reason?
Because this guy lived what he said he believed. And that, I mean, that goes to that point we made in the first episode here of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe it was this one. I can't remember when, but you can know it, but if you don't live it,
right.
It's a hypocrisy, and they see it. Here's a neat follow-up to that, Tom. Had a lady contact me about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and she said, I heard your talk on that. I bought Mr. Penn a Bible because he got a Gideon's pocket edition of the Bible and is only the Psalms in the New Testament, and he needed the whole Bible. I bought him, she's not a wealthy lady, I bought him the best Bible that I could, leather bound, had his name put on there, and didn't have a clue how I was going to get it to him. She suffers from MS.
Mm-hmm.
A lady comes to her and says, hey, they've got a doctor in New York who's perfecting some surgery on MS. You want to come with me? She goes. The doctor cancels her appointment. She's got to stay an extra 3 days. So she's like, okay, what am I going to do? 3 days here? Let's go to a show on Broadway. She goes to the show, intermission. She gets a drink. She gets a Coke. The guy says $8 for a Coke. She's like, $8? She hears a voice behind her. The guy laughs and says, that's the most expensive Coke you'll probably ever buy. Penn Jillette.
Wow.
She turns around and looks at him, and she's like, oh, no. And she said, Mr. Penn, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. She said he thanked me. He was polite. I walked away. But then she said, I remembered what you said in that talk. One of the points was he came back. You see, the guy that shared the Bible with Penn had been at the show the night before and had to come back the next night to do this.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I have my chance. She turned around, went back. There's a guy standing there trying to get an autograph from Penn. And she said, she's a tiny lady, can't move her left arm very much. She said, I pushed him out of the way. I grabbed Mr. Penn as strong as I could with my left arm and said, Mr. Penn, when I told you I was praying for you, I'm serious. I've been praying for you. And I bought you a Bible, and I want to give it to you. He gave her his address. She sent him the Word of God.
Wow. Wow. We can't fathom things like that until the Lord gives us a boldness. But it really shouldn't be a boldness. It should be an everyday affair. We want to bring people into eternity with us. That's the thing about Christianity that people say, well, you know, it's kind of you guys are exclusive and, hey, we're nothing.
No.
The Bible is the Word of God. It's the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yep.
You know, he's the one that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This isn't something you made up, Carl, or I made up, or something like that. But the point is, they say, well, it's so exclusive. No. Wait a minute. It's for everyone.
Everyone.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we want as many who are willing. I mean, that's all you bring to it, right, Carl? If you're willing, you'll have the gift. Carl, I was 30-some years a Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. I never knew that salvation was a gift.
Yeah.
And that it could only be received by faith.
Yep.
Well, that's the message for those who are willing to come to
Him. I put it like this. It's like eating garlic. Now, I like garlic, but you don't like it that I like garlic, especially when we're in England in that little tiny car, because you just stink, okay? You can drink all the Listerine you want. You can shower all you want. You can put on all the deodorant you want. You still stink. That's the way the Holy Spirit should be coming out of us, man. You can't hide it.
Yeah.
It's just... it exudes from us, and that's my goal in life. I turn it over to him and try.
Yeah.
I fail, but Lord, here am I, send me.
Yeah, it's true. To some people, it is a stench, but to those who are rejecting it, it's a stench. But to those who are receiving it or will receive it, it's glory. It's eternal life with Christ. Carl, what's the game plan ahead for Reasons for Hope? Where do you see the Lord developing your ministry and directing it? Now, having said that, I got to bring you back to something which I was really excited about. I want to know the further development of it.
Yeah.
You mentioned in our last program that you take people to museums.
Yeah.
Now, what about this app? Tell people about that.
Man, I so badly want to create. I call it.
But at least share the idea with people,
because
I think it's fantastic.
It's called Zoos, Museums, and Aquariums: Turning Zoos, Museums, and Aquariums into Weapons for Mass Instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So all these talks that I give, and all the information that we've acquired over the years on the various exhibits on animals and all these neat things. Imagine having in your hand a virtual museum, a virtual zoo, a virtual aquarium, so that you become the hero to your child. You start leading tours through these places with all the information that's compiled so that you walk into the museum and you're looking at Lucy, the supposed evolutionary ancestor, and you have all the video clips right there showing what they actually found, showing what they did to change the bones to fit the reconstruction that you're going to see in the museum. They're not the same. Then all the animal features, unique design features on these animals, just standing there teaching your children, look at the giraffe. You think that evolved from some groundhog-type animal? A 2.5-foot-long heart, 3-inch-thick muscle walls. You know, this is an amazing animal. So having all that information so that now you're leading tourists through these things from a biblical perspective, because, again, know what the world teaches. We shouldn't run from it. We need to know it better than the world.
Right.
But then look at the actual exhibit that our tax dollars are paying for to indoctrinate and lie to our children with, and then use their exhibits to share the Word of God. Here's what the Word of God says, and here's what we see in the world around us, and what we see in the world screams that God did what he said that he did.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's stunning in terms of its simplicity. So I'm walking into a museum, and it's one that you've already pegged. You've got the information on there. But instead of following a guide through who's giving me bogus information about this stuff, I've got the truth.
Yep.
Now, it's not that you're trying to debunk all of this stuff, but you're trying to set the record straight. So, Carl, I just think it's fantastic, and my hope and prayer is that you'll be able to create this and then use it. So, again, how do you see the Lord developing your ministry, and where is he taking you guys?
You know, all the things that we're trying to accomplish right now, I love, are the short video teaching with conversation starters, because if you can get people to just start conversing and talking and engaging, I believe we're going to go a lot further than the whole stand up in front of 1,000 people and lecture.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a time and place for it. Yes, I need to do it because I need to survive. Okay, I admit it. We need to be out there and get those opportunities. But in the big scheme of things, short video conversation piece. So that's why the debunk thing. That's why my son has Hit It and Get It. That's why we're looking at another thing called Schooled. Short videos, conversation starters, and just applying our faith in the real world. Another thing that we're wanting to get real personal on is another short video. How about this one? Moms and dads, we want to come out and start interviewing moms and dads. You got 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes. You're not waking up in the morning. What are the 5 minutes that you would want your child to take with them through eternity? Because you're not going to be here tomorrow to tell them. You need to put it down now. And start challenging parents to take it seriously. We will not be here. None of us are guaranteed another breath. What do I want my children to know if I'm not up in the morning to share with them? So we're just trying to keep it as real as possible, keeping it in the Word of God and getting people excited about their faith, man.
Exactly. Carl, and you know, because we've talked a lot about this, this is what we're doing at the Bring a Call. We are attempting to reach the upcoming generation. You know, we have a treasury of material that Dave Hunt, this is Dave Hunt's legacy here, and he's no longer able to function that way. But we have the material. Now the deal is, how are we going to get it to this upcoming generation? Now, I love, how many kids do you have, Carl?
Two.
Two? Well, I've got five.
Okay. Yeah.
These are my ages, 24 to into their 30s, and these are my counselors with regard to their generation. Now, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth, so it's not like I'm just picking on young people. These are young people who really know the Lord and really have the same concern that I have. So they're my chief counsel with regard to how to reach their peers.
Yep.
And what you've said is exactly true. We have a YouTube generation. In other words, a video, 5 minutes or less, something that would motivate them, encourage them, get them thinking about the Lord, whether it be debunked or whether it be a teaching from Scripture, whatever it is. The whole idea is to get them into reading the Word of God, the written Word of God.
Yeah.
So, Carl, my prayer, my hope is, you know, it sounds like an impossible task, but, you know, the cool thing is, with God, all things are possible.
Thing,
and if he's leading Reason for Hope and the Berean Call in this direction, he'll pull it off. But, folks, we really need your prayers. We really need you to be on the same plane with us with regard to a heart for youth, a heart for this next generation, because, Carl, you said it last week, I'll repeat it now, they're going to have to deal with things that, if the Lord tarries, you know, we keep crying out Maranatha, but if the Lord tarries, they're going to have to deal with issues that unfathomable with regard to those of us who have been there, done that, have dealt with a lot of the issues.
Amen.
So, Carl, thanks for being with us, and love you, brother, and can't wait to get together with you.
Hey, same here. Love you guys, and just be encouraged. I get a lot of responses from folks telling me how much they love Berean Call, so you guys keep on keeping on and stay bold.
Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. We offer a wide variety of materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. In our next program, Tom will begin a four-part series with Paul Wilkinson, TBC board member and author of For Zion's Sake, Prophets Who Prophesy Lies in My Name, and Christian Palestinianism. We hope you can be here. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in, and we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow, no turning back, no turning back.